I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh, I believe the fire burns. We stay alive. They will talk about us like they talked about the king before us.
These are the words of a believer, achiever, leader of the globe. Feed the souls of those in need. I bleed the blood of the struggle, walking over trouble puddles. Hustles in my chest, no hustle, no progress. Extremities of life in this process. Birth of a son, death of another. Your love, I caress both mothers. And told them, who's in control is the one that's above us. I walk where money talks and love stutters. Body language of a nation, going through changes. The young become dangerous. Pain gets spent into anger. Anger gets sent through the chamber. It's tough when you own look like strangers. We are the sons of gangsters and stone rangers. If he could, how would Ernie Barnes paint us? Look at the picture, hard not to blame us. But time forgives and decide where the young die often. Do they end up in a coffin because we haven't talked them? Is it what we talking? We really ain't walking. Dudes hustlers pay. How much did it cost them? Find myself on the same corner that we lost them. Real talking. In the air like a walkman. Thoughts been around the corner to the world. When I see them, I see my baby girl. Believe, believe.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh,
believe,
I believe.
Believe.
Hunger
becomes a means to get it by any ways necessary under pressure. Children feeling lesser, but still in front of dresser. Killing will aggressive. Destiny's children, survivors, soldiers. In front of buildings, they eyes look older. Hard to see blessings in a violent culture. Face against weapons, sirens, holsters. That ain't the way the length of youth wrote up. Soul controllers on the shoulders of Moses and Noah. We go from being precious to Oprah. Cultivated to overcome ever since we came overseas today. In the way that you can see to redetermine. Solar keeps burning. Shorties know to keep learning. Lessons in our life, but like stripes to be earning. Took Gramps' advice, said Christ is returning. Like a thief in the night, I write for beacons of light. For those of us in dark alleys and parched valleys, street hits, spark rallies of the conscious conquerors of a contest that seems beyond us. Even through the unseen, I know that God watches. From one king's dream, he was able to barack us. The prophets, nothing can stop us.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh,
believe,
I believe
in the
fire.
Welcome to tonight's show. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough Save Our Children. Tonight, we're going to have a great discussion. Our topic for the night is community activists, mentors, Facebook groups, and organizations. We're going to talk about the leaders in our community who are making a difference for our troubled youth and young adults. We're going to talk about their roles in the communities at large and the struggle for change to make a brighter future for our youth. I've invited several guests to be on our show tonight. I see that some of them are on the line, but before I bring them on, I would ask that if you have any TV, children, anything going on in the background, can you kind of take care of that? Because this is being recorded. I also ask that you be patient with me you know, I know you may be anxious to say a little something, but I'm going to bring on each guest one at a time, let them talk a little bit, then I'm going to open it up to everyone, and we're going to have a full discussion. The chat room is open this evening. I want to thank my co-host for coming on. Her name is Lynn Miller. She'll be answering your chats. I'll also be reading comments from the chat room. So sit back and relax. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Without further ado, we're going to get it started. We got 90 minutes, so we got a lot of time. And our first guest tonight is Brother Brett Scudder.
Good evening, Mr. Nix. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Brett. How are you? Good to have you on the show tonight. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for the invite, sir. It's my honor to share this moment with you to talk about the pressing issues that you're addressing, and I'm really honored to be on with you. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you. Again. So, Brett, tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization. You know, I know you're active out in Far Rockaway, Queens, and I believe up in Harlem. But if you want to fill us in on what you're doing.
Okay, so my organization, we deal with the issues of abuse, bullying, domestic violence, and suicide. We look at the social, societal, and psychological issues that manifest itself to transpire into what we're seeing today as the social decline of our community. We do workshops, presentations, we do lunch and learns, we go out into different schools, communities, engage and interact with people to bring a new level of education and awareness on the realities of what's affecting our communities and how badly we really need to really come together as a people to address them.
Right. Where are you based out of? Harlem or Queens?
We're based out of Queens, but we are a national organization, so pretty much we have offices and locations, satellite offices, centers across the city and across the country. And with that, we are all over the place. The thing is, our message is to try to get this education and awareness out to the general community, so we travel anywhere that we need to go to be able to deliver that message. But we're headquartered out of Far Rockaway, Queens.
Out of Far Rockaway, Queens. Okay. You got to give us that the information at the end of the show, website and everything. I would appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Let me ask, you know, what are some of the biggest struggles you go through doing what you do? I mean, what are some of the biggest obstacles? Is it people in the community being involved? Is it funding? You know, can you give me a little bit of that? You know.
Well, it's a bit of everything, because, you know, as you and I both know, as advocates and nonprofits doing what we do, funding is always a big issue. But as I always say to everyone, once you take the passion and put the passion into the mix, you go beyond that. You go beyond just needing the resources that you think you need to actually seeing the value of what you need to deliver and taking that out into the community. The community itself is the biggest problem that we run into, because you're addressing things on levels that they're not used to. And I give you an example. Most people look at domestic violence as an isolated incident or an isolated issue, okay? It's by itself.
Right.
It happens by itself. It's physical. But now you're introducing a piece to it where you show people how it's connected to abuse, bullying, suicide, mental health, physical health, the psychology of that. And people, you know, really start thinking outside the box, and they really are not ready for that. Unless they have physically gone through it, it's going to be hard for someone to really understand what you're saying, because you're giving them a whole different perspective, thinking outside the box, being outside the box, all of that good stuff.
Right, right. So I see what the struggle is.
Yeah, people are not ready for that because to them, they still think of typically like domestic violence being a man hitting on a woman. Now you're trying to tell them about a man hitting a woman hitting a woman hitting a woman, a kid hitting a kid. You know, you start going into, you know, a lot of dynamics and people start going, oh, my God, are you serious?
Right. I got that point because they just got a one-sided view, and you're giving them the whole picture. You know, because there is women hitting, beating up men, you know, in our society, that's not given a lot of attention. The attention is more focused on the man hitting the woman. So what do you offer, counseling?
We offer counseling, workshops, presentations on the issues. We take the facts to the people. This is one of the things I try to tell people. I say, if you don't want to believe me, we're going to take the facts to you. We're not trying to tell you something that is not real. We're not trying to tell you something that we don't know. We're bringing the facts to you for you to see for yourself how this is. So we have support groups. We have workshops. We bring people in who have gone through, you know, these issues in their lives, who can talk about personal experiences. The beauty of that is, it's one thing to talk about an issue, but it's another thing when you have experienced it and you're able to speak to it on a different level. And so we have abuse victims and survivors support groups where people come into that group environment because they have gone through something, they have experienced something. They thought they were alone, they feel alone. They're struggling to deal with what they're dealing with. And so once they come into that environment where they're saying, oh, my God, I thought I was the only one going through this issue, or I didn't know that there was another piece to it, or I didn't know that there were services and resources available, now people start realizing that they can really stop suffering in silence and start overcoming the challenges, start facing life and reclaiming their lives.
Right. In other words, recover from the hurt and the pain. And that's got to be a hell of a process, you know.
It is a very serious process.
To use those who've been there, done that, and have came through to help those who are just beginning, that's a beautiful thing. Because I'm a believer of experience is the best teacher.
Yes, sir.
You know, It's you know, for me, you got to be able to identify with the pain, with the incident, you know, what have you. You know, I don't think no book teaches you that. You know, experience.
Well, the other side, if I may say this, the other side to that too is, if for example, let's look on the issues of abused males. Males who have been sexually abused, physically abused, verbally abused. You don't find a man will come forward to talk about that type of abuse because first he knows that he's going to be ostracized. People are going to look down on him. Like he can't go to his friends and say, hey, you know, my woman beat me up. He chopped me up, beat me up, whatever, right?
Right.
So the first
part
part of that becomes now I'm in a room and a group session where I hear other people talking about it. And even though I feel a little bit ashamed and uncomfortable, the fact that someone else be the first person to say, hey, you know, I've been a victim, this is that what happened to me, whatever, now you're starting to get people to start thinking to themselves, well, you know, this may not be as bad as I thought it is. But the challenge to that is when people say to them, you know, you're not alone. You're never alone. When that person goes home at night and is in the comfort of their home by themselves at night, they are alone. And that's when the feelings and the anger and the hurt and the pain comes back. So that's one of the hardest pieces of fixing the problem of stopping people from suffering in silence is what happens when they really are alone. And that's why we have a 24/7 hotline where we provide someone on the other end to be that company and to be that listening ear and that shoulder for them to lean on, even though not physical.
Right. So let me ask, the service is free, or is there a fee, or, you know, how does that work out?
The services are free. We try to keep, and I have to be careful of that because
I just wanted to know, you know.
The services are free. We provide the services free to the communities because we try to work the costs for us to operate and to do what we do on the back end. One of the things that we do is we are a network of service providers, professionals, mental health, psychologists. We're a network of service providers. So let's say you came into one of our first aid response centers and you were a victim of domestic violence, or you were trying to kill yourself, thinking of suicide. We may not have that licensed professional on site, but we have what we call an intake specialist who will sit with you to go over, you know, getting to know Leo a little bit, finding out what's going on, and then saying, I think, you know what, you need to go see Tony next. He is our specialist that deals with this issue. Or we may schedule you to come in to meet with the client. You know what I'm saying? We negotiate that arrangement that you're provided the service if the service is not right there in our center. Our goal is, and one of the things that we've been doing, is trying to get our own building that we house all the services in one location. That way we have the therapists, the social workers, law enforcement, legal aid, everyone under one roof. But that has been a little bit hard for us. So what we do is we'll set up an appointment. If you come in today and we know you're coming in, we'll have the person who you need to meet with there. Or if you're a walk-in that you just walked into the center and you have problems, we can either reach out to a resource that would either see you immediately or we will take you to that resource for that follow-up piece.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Well,
wow,
you know, we do what we do, and we try to do what we do because it's a needed resource in our communities, and you and I both know that when people are hurting, one of the first things, they're afraid to come forward. They may not have the funds to do it. They may not even have insurance to go into some of these, you know, some of these places. And so we try to work on the back end to, you know, try to secure funding and different resources so that when you come through the door, you're not going to be stopped because you don't or you can't afford to have something, because that suffering in silence is more detrimental than not having the funding.
Of course, because it can trigger something else within a person.
Yes, sir.
Because they're hurting. You know that saying, hurt people, you know?
Right.
So this is a beautiful thing you got going. How long, when did you first establish this?
Well, we've been doing it for a couple of years, but what we've been doing, we were more responding to people who were reaching out on a one-on-one basis. 4 years ago, we tried to put the centers together, but what we thought were properties that we could have gotten or resources that we could have gotten for that never really panned out. So what we did is we still continued doing what we're doing, but from reaching out one-to-one with people. Today, we're thank God, we're giving thanks for resources that have come available so that we can have a center where that actually is a place where people can come in for services and get, you know, one-on-one with someone. We have different people across different areas coming forward to say, hey, we see what you're doing. We like what you're doing. Would you be willing to bring it to our community? In bringing it to our community, we're willing to give you space and resources for you and your team to do what you have to do.
That's beautiful. That's really nice. That's really
yes,
nice. I hear the commitment in your voice. You know, this is, you know, it doesn't sound like to me you're looking for a medal for what you're doing. This is for the people because you know the people need it. You know, I admire that a lot, you know, because a lot of us that are into helping our community and this and those who are going through domestic violence, child abuse, drug addiction. You know, people have different agendas for what they do. And a lot of times, it's not based on the people suffering and trying to make things better. You know, they got other agendas. But I don't hear that from you at all. I don't hear that from
well,
you at all.
Because
you're networking, you know, you're referring folks. You're trying to help people. You know, and if we had more of that, we would be further than we are right now, because where we stand right now is not good. It's not
good
at all.
Let me just say this. If I may, let me just say this. I've went through all of the issues that I service within my organization, okay? when, you know, I went through all of those. And when I was going through a lot of what we do, I did not have anyone I could turn to. I did not have anyone who understood what I was going through. I did not have a resource that I could have gone to. I was not man enough to publicly go out there and not be afraid of talking about what I went through. I always try to tell people, I said, I think the life that I led to this point is what led me to where I am right now, because if I didn't go through a lot of these circumstances, I wouldn't have the passion that you're picking up right now. Okay? There are days when we go without food and funds and conveniences to do what we do, because we do it because of the passion. Because we've been there and wish we had this type of resource at the time to help. Okay? There weren't any resources that were available. And the extended suffering and pain, both mentally, psychologically, and physically, could have been alleviated if there was a resource like this in place. So for me, I take that hurt and pain and everything that I went through, and I had to find a way to try to break the cycle and make a change in our society so that someone suffering or someone going through hardship or becoming a victim of whatever it is does not have to go through that whole social and societal downfall, you know, withdrawing themselves from society or feeling like they are alone. We don't just tell people that you're not alone. We put physical bodies and physical presence there with them for them to know that they are not alone. We take people out. We take them out of their zone, out of their environment, and give them an opportunity to meet like-minded people who they can learn with and grow with and be around that encourages them to take their lives back. So the passion that we have doing what we do,
mm-hmm.
is not because of what we want out of it. It's because of what we have gone through as a network, and we're willing to give back, and we're willing to break the cycle. That's what we're trying to do, break that cycle so that continuous process of abuse and suffering and pain does not continue, and so that other people can be free of that.
So let me ask, are your services offered to, I mean, is they're offered to everyone, even, say, undocumented individuals?
Our motto is, if you're a person in pain and suffering, we will help you. We're not even going to question that. Because let me tell you how we look at it. This is where my vision came into forming this organization. If a person came through your door and a person is suffering or in pain, you don't know what level or what mindset that person is. So if you're going to help that person based on a criteria that is not specific to the social and psychological pain that person is feeling, and you turn that person away, what if that person went out on the street, was driving a car or has a gun, and all the innocent people that are there now are at the mercy of this individual because you turned that individual away? Our goal is to help anyone coming through the door, calling on the phone, and saying, I need help. Whether they're using the word H-E-L-P or they are just unable to identify what pain and suffering they're going through, we help them.
Gotcha. Okay, before I bring my next guest on, just let me say, call-in numbers for tonight is 424-258-9271. Callers, if you call in, if you have questions or comments, feel free. Just please be observant of the background noise when you call. Our next guest for the night is a brother out of Brooklyn. His name is Don Britt. This is his second time on the show. I want to welcome him back this evening. Hello, Don. Are you there?
Well, Don is not here, but his wife is here. Well, he's here.
Oh, hey,
with me,
hello, Monique. It's okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. I thank you for being on your show, Mr. Tony.
Welcome back. As I said,
mm-hmm.
It's a pleasure to have y'all on. I know you were listening to our previous guest just now,
yes.
who's offering services for domestic violence and child abuse, and I know
mm-hmm.
that that you guys also offer some kind of services and help in the community. Am I correct?
Yes, we do, and I would love to link up with that that organization as well. With Lenore Inc., we are a gang intervention, prevention, and social welfare. So we deal with the youth and young adults who are in gangs or they're thinking about getting becoming a part of the gang.
And you're operating out of Brooklyn, correct?
Yes, we are. Bedford Stuyvesant.
So what is the success rate you've had?
Well, to be quite honest, Anoint Inc. Was founded in 2009, and they had a president previously before me. I am the new president, so it's been a couple of months, and so we're starting mentorship, dealing with the youth and mentorship, trying to get them jobs, and we have programs on the weekend every Saturday on entrepreneurship, education, CPR, things like that. We try to deal with the parents, you know, because they're finding their children are out in the street. They have nothing to do, so we go around, we pick up the children, and we take them to workshops. So that's what I'm focusing on right now as the new president, trying to deal with especially intervention, preventing them from getting into gangs. I'm finding like 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds are considering becoming a part of a gang.
And what does that generally do from, you know, what does that stem from, that they want to become part of a gang?
You know, we're dealing with, you know, I was listening to the gentleman before, and I applaud his organization. We're dealing with a lot of broken homes where mommy is not there or daddy is not there or the home is broken and, you know, a lot of broken homes right now. And so I'm seeing that the children want to be a part of something. They want to be affirmed, you know. And when they go to these gangs, like the Bloods and the Crips and the different various gangs, they're getting that where they're not getting it at home. So Anoint Inc. don't only deal with the youth and the young adult, but we also extend our hand to parents, and we like to refer them. Like we have the new stadium is being built, and they're going to have jobs. So right now we're in the process of collecting resumes for the parents that need jobs or some young adults who need jobs and, you know, submitting their resume. We have someone working with us that said if we bring resumes, they'll consider them for working for the stadium. So we also deal with the parents.
Oh, so you offer parents assistance. Oh, that's nice.
Right. And but right now I want to build our network because there are some things that we can't help them with, but we can refer them. So we're in the process of building our referral system. You know, maybe you can go here or you can go here for the parents.
Right.
But the youth, our workshops are every Saturday for the youth. And what we also do is I like to walk the streets, my husband and I, and get acquainted with the youth that are in the neighborhood. Like I work with a specific gentleman that he knows gang members and, you know, try to get us on the inside because they're not just readily willing to, you know, I'm in a gang and come over here, I want to get out. So we're dealing with the young men as we walk the streets and we're learning to mentor them and deal with their everyday life.
Right. Well, where is the location for the workshops?
The workshop is called the Binko Transformation Center. It's in Bushwick on 1474 Bushwick between Granite, between Bushwick and Broadway.
And the time?
From 10 to 12. 10 to 12.
From 10 to 12.
Yes.
So, you know, what is some of the biggest obstacles you find yourself coming across and doing what you do?
I was waiting for that question. Well, it's the funding, reaching out. Our passion is the gang members. We so want to see them free. My husband was a former gang member. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood where there were gangs, and you had to hurry up and get in the door because they were going to have a show off, you know, so we look at them as bad, but they're crying out. They want help, and that's our biggest obstacle, getting in there to let them know that we're here for them, not to judge them. And sometimes you got to start here on ground level and work your way up to reach them. because they're just that hard, you know, and they're so in the gang life. So that's one of the obstacles besides funding, getting to reaching them. The ages from 8 to maybe 12, it's a little easier. But we're trying to get the 13 to like 21.
Right. Do you go into the schools in the area?
What I'm doing is I'm lining myself up with the schools right now. As I said, I'm the new president, so there's a lot of things I'm bringing to the company. And one of the things I want to do is get into the schools and do seminars for the school and speak to the children. The adult, you know, the preschool, the elementary and the high school and junior high.
Right, right. I got you. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the community,
mm-hmm.
do you think they should be doing more to support what you do?
Yes. You know, I've reached out to the community, and I'm talking about the neighborhood, just on the block where I live at. You know, because I'm a pastor secretary and I'm a pastor. You know, and even in the church you have ex-gang members, ex-this, ex-that. So they've been there, you know. And what we ask is mentorship. Just take time with them and talk to them. See where they at. See how you can help them. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to get. Either we don't have time or we're not interested enough. And we don't need anybody to start something and they don't finish it. Because you, like,
I understand. I truly understand.
You know, and I see a lot of that. We're not committed. We're not dedicated. You know, we don't have that passion enough for the youth to stick it out. And even when they want to hit you back, and I don't mean physically, but sometimes you get the hard cases, and that's what we're looking for. People that want to work with the hard cases, that don't mind. Sometimes I get the cold shoulder. Sometimes, but I keep going back, and I keep going back. And that's what we need from our community.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is way overdue.
It is.
The community is sitting back. The community is sitting back with a hopeless mindset.
Mm-hmm.
They've given up on their community. They've given up on the youth in the community because they see no
mm-hmm.
hope when there is hope.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't give up. We can't give up on our youth. We cannot
up
on our youth. They are the future. They're the future.
Right.
They're
when I was coming up, and what I mean from the community, when I was coming up, somebody said something. And I understand some say you can't say anything to these children today because they're this way and that way. I understand that. But because we stopped doing that, that's why we got to this place. The children didn't bring us to this place. The community and the lack of their participation brought us to this place.
That's right.
I don't know
You're
if some would agree,
right.
but that's how no, I feel.
I fully agree. I fully agree. Our complacency brought us to this point.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a point where, from my growing up, there were those before me who wanted some changes. And
mm-hmm.
when those changes came about after the sacrifices and the commitment they put in,
mm-hmm.
I really feel that as a people, we got complacent instead of staying
mm-hmm.
consistent and nurturing what we got. And
mm-hmm.
today, slowly but surely, we're losing it.
Right.
We're losing it, and it's really time for us to wake up.
Right.
It's past due. It's past due.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And my endeavor is really to get them before they go to prison. Even while they're in prison, they're part of gangs. And when they come out, what they're doing in the gang life. So we can get them before they go to prison soon. And we also have a program for when they come out. And our biggest task right now is to get a safe house and a house for when they come out of jail. And sometimes they come out of jail to go back into the same surrounding. So quite naturally, you begin to participate with what you used to do, unless you're giving another resource. You know, so we're looking for when they come out of prison, We have a place for them to go. And if they want to get out of the gang life, that we can send them to another area. So we don't want to only be here in Brooklyn, but we're looking for Maryland and North Carolina and different areas where we can send them and have a program there for them where they can rebuild their life.
That's wonderful. That's really nice. So the networking piece is very, very important.
Right.
That's very important. Okay, I just want to ask our other guest tonight, Brent, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
You know, I know in the domestic violence, are you able to refer people into, like, safe houses? You know, because I know they have that throughout the city, you know, where the woman and the children or even the man, they can't stay in the home, but they have nowhere to go. Are you able to help with that?
We have some partnerships right now that we're working on, and let me, if I may, let me just add to what I didn't get her name. What is the name?
Her name is Monique Brett. Monique Brett.
Okay. All right, Miss Monique. I learned years ago that as good as we want our programs to be, the power of our programs comes from networking and collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we have good ideas. You may have the idea, I may have the resource, another person may have the funds, another person may have the venue. And so collaboratively, we come together, we can enhance exactly what we're trying to do in many ways and across many borders and boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why in my network, there are over 5,000 nonprofit organizations across the country where we collaborate on different things in different ways. We help each other to build our programs in our communities because at the end of the day, we really are trying to help to build our communities, to enhance and strengthen our communities. The big challenge that we have today, when Mr. Tony asked about challenges, the biggest challenge that we have today is that people don't like working together.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to have that, you know, I'm the chief and this is my cake and I'm going to eat my cake. You know, you really don't find a lot of people who are willing to say, you know what, I'm inviting you to the table, bring your ideas, we'll help you, we'll collaborate and network towards doing what we do. That brings me back to what Mr. Nix just asked about the program, what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have all the resources we need for ourselves, so we partner with other agencies and groups who have resources that we think is valuable for us and the people in need. So if someone walks through the door right now and they need housing or they need shelter or their whatever it is that they do, we have partner resources who are able to tap into that to provide that. Not only that, we have a project on the table right now for a domestic violence shelter to be in the Rockaways for men because there are no domestic violence shelters in the Rockaways for men, but you do have 130,000 people living in the Rockaways, and a lot of those are males, not just adults, but also youth. And so, you know, in working together, resources becomes available based on availability, who has it, and people being interested in partnering and collaborating.
And that is an important piece, a very important piece. I wrote a blog a few months ago, An Alliance by Any Means Necessary. And I don't know how many people read it, but I felt like, you know, it was a simple plan. There's no big I's, little U's in this plan. And it's a collaboration of everybody. Everybody stepping up and pitching in. You know, we don't want to be controlling what goes on in your organization because everybody is autonomous. But can we come together, share our resources, share what works, what doesn't work, volunteer to help other groups and organizations, and we stay on one agenda? You know, we have meetings on the progress we make, plan events, you know, it's a really simple plan, but I find that some of the simplest things you can't really get off the ground.
You know, because in like I said, being new to anointing as a president, I've reached out, and sometimes it's you have this door that opens, like the resumes coming in and the job. That's because I linked up with another organization who they're helping people get jobs at the stadium. You know, it didn't come through Anoint per se, but it came through another organization. But when you reach out to this organization, sometimes those are the challenges. But we are trying to collaborate with other organizations.
Right, because eventually you will link up. You will link up with those that you can work together. You can work side by side. You know, I have a few allies, and Brett Scudder and his organization, you know, they're one of my allies, you know, because that's the only way we're going to make greater progress. I don't really believe in this individualism because it's not going to work like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work like that. All together, citywide, we can make a great impact. We don't have to worry about asking the mayor or none of that because we're doing this. Because truthfully, it's really up to us.
Can I add to that one step further? We need to stop relying so heavily on our elected officials, okay? We as a people, we have the power to do what we need to do. If we as a people see that the power is within us and stop looking to our elected officials. Our elected officials are not our saviors for us to run to for everything that we need. We have to empower ourselves by engaging and being collaborative in our communities, and that's how we're going to sustain ourselves. This individualism has passed and gone because, to be honest with you, it is the individualism that has brought us to where we are right now. Because when the issues were being seen and were seen to be rising, instead of collaborating to address the issues, people started attacking the issues individually. Not understanding what the issues were, not having the resources, and not having the proper ways in which to address it. So that whole time frame or era of being one organization or one entity to deal with it, and I'll give you a typical example. If you look at law enforcement right now cannot keep peace in our communities. You know why? Because law enforcement has always tried to be an entity by itself. Not a part of the community, but an entity by itself on the outside of the community. Only when something happens, a crime, a murder, or a rape, or some domestic violence, they come into the community. That's why I try to tell people that we really need to understand that there are deep social issues that have always been there bubbling up under the surface, and now they're just like a volcanic eruption of all these social issues. Not today, and they didn't start today, they didn't start 5 years ago.
That's
We're looking at a long-term erosion of our social foundation that has now collapsed beneath our feet.
Wow, Brett, that's a pretty observation, but I have to admit it is the truth. Real quick, those that are calling in, if you want to join in on the conversation tonight, you need to press 1 on your phone. Again, if you called in and you're on the line, in order to join in, you need to press 1 on your phone. And the our co-host will be speaking to you momentarily. Again, the call-in number is 424-258-9271. Brent, you know, you brought up some valid points, And like I said, you know, I wrote this probably last summer or last spring, and you know, there was a few comments, some feedback, but not a lot, you know, because that's collaboration is not a popular plan. You know, it's all about me, because I've tried to work with some organizations here in Queens, and when you go to them to align with them, they want to dictate everything. And that, to me, that's not how it should go. That's not how it should go, you know.
I agree.
Everybody, you know, can be their own entity or whatever, you know what I mean? You run your organization the way you run it. But if we're aligning, we're on the same agenda. We're on the same agenda. And we got to get away from this selfishness, this individualism, to make a greater impact. I truly believe that. Truly. So this is why I'm doing a show and having a discussion like I'm having tonight. You know, for the purpose of networking, so at the end of this show, we'll be able to trade information and stay in contact and say, hey, I'm over here doing this. Can you help me over here? This is about helping each other. Because we can't do this alone. And we're talking about funding. You're talking about funding that we don't have. So, you know, we're volunteering our time. At the same time, we're committed. You know, in the end, this is not about a dollar. Of course,
right,
we're going to need some type of donation, some type of funding, you know, because there's things that we're going to need, you know, in time as we develop and become bigger. But in the meantime, you know, this is what we're doing.
Mr. Nick,
to get the word out there that, you know, it's time to come on board and cut out the nonsense, because, you know, I've talked to all of, if there's no money in it, I'm not in it. Okay, thank you. You know, that's where you're at. I'm not going to argue with you. You know what I mean? That's where you're at.
Can I just say something to that? Ms. Britt.
Yes.
Imagine if what we're doing right here, right now, all three of us, service providers, helping our communities, doing what we're doing, with no resources. Imagine if we had 1,000 people who were the same or doing the same thing, who were willing to come together to work towards a common goal like that. Imagine if we all shared our resources, brought each other on as hosts and guests, and rebuilt what we all have and built on that. See, I try to tell people that the solution to our problems are very simple. We caused the problem in the first place, and we have the solution to solve the problem. Simple solution is, if we are having the resources we have right now, like the media, like this radio show right now, we all support each other in what we do. We stop supporting traditional media that does not focus or help our society and our children, our youth, and our families. The garbage that's on the media today is not helping any of us, okay?
I agree.
But we all tune in. We all give them reading. We all give them the focus and the feedback. Now, a show like this tonight where you should have lines packed up with people, you won't get that. You get what I'm saying? So as a society, we have created, and this is why I said it, we have created our problems to where they are right now, that over years has built and built to the social and societal issues that we have right now. But still, people do not understand what that means, how that ties into that, and what it entails. So unless we start going out there to educate, and it's really sad that we have to do this, but we have to do it. We have to educate people on the ways in which to turn back the hands of time, to take back control, and to really put us to where we really need to be, okay? Because you still have people right now who, unless they have gone through something as an individual, they will not support it. Mr. Nix, myself, you, we all know that because we're serving our communities, and we see that every day. You'll stop someone in the street and say, hey, I'd like to give you a flyer about my program of a workshop that we're doing about bullying and domestic violence and raising your child. And they will get, oh, no, you know, it's okay. I don't need that, and it's okay. But God forbid something happens to them, that family or one of their family members, they're going to come to you, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, I need this. I need that. Can you get this? Can you get that? I need, you know what I'm saying?
We experience that all the time.
But see, why are we as a society so, I can't even find the right word. I'm getting a little too passionate right now.
It's okay, Brent. It's okay. It needs to be said, you know. Real quick, I want to welcome those in the chat room. I have another caller on the line. I'm going to bring this caller on. Can't quite pronounce the first name, but the last name is Magmillion. Good evening, Mr. or Mrs. Magmillion. How are you? Are you there?
Peace and love, family. How is everyone doing?
How are you?
Fine,
how are you? Welcome to the show. How do you say your first name?
My first name is pronounced Anna.
Anna. Okay, see, I didn't want to mess it up. That's why I said the last name. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so very much, family. I got an opportunity to kind of sit back and listen a little bit. I think that what we're doing is actually a start, and we have to always remember and everything in which that we do is always a process. And you're going to connect with those that are like minds. Our nation of people have got to come to a point to where we've got to start healing. We haven't even gotten to that point yet. We're still at a ground level as of right now, so you can't expect the majority of us to understand the masses of our people's problems, especially our youth. Right now, I know within my area, and I'm from Mississippi, there are some things in which that I'm working on here for the youth here. And I have connected with a lot of brothers and sisters in different states throughout the United States that are like minds that are doing different things within their communities with the youth. That's where my passion is connecting with the youth to work collaboratively together to start doing things, to start educating them, to start getting them prepared. So anyone that, you know, you guys know of that, you know, that's interested or what have you, please, by all means, I am writing down numbers, Facebooking, Twittering, emailing, setting up different programs, summits, things of that sort, anything to start on a positive level, helping them to get where we need them to be at.
That's good. What's the name of your organization, if I can ask? You say you're out of Mississippi. What part of Mississippi?
Yes. I'm South Mississippi, which is, I'm right here on the Gulf Coast. So when Katrina hit, you know, you heard all the little different stories. So I'm an area where Katrina badly hit it as well, which is actually right here off of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, I know.
So I'm
right
South
there,
Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
wow.
Actually, right now, I do not have a nonprofit organization. I have a company that I have started, and it's called I Am. And what I'm doing is my basis of my company is network marketing, which it entails me connecting with like minds, and what I do is I relay the information to other brothers and sisters throughout the country or throughout the world that, hey, this is another entity that you want to tie in, connect with. They do this. This is another, you know, company or nonprofit organization over here that does this, and so on and so forth, because we need to bridge this gap that going on, and our information is not getting out, therefore we're starting to duplicate or replicate the same thing which someone, you know, is already doing maybe on the east side, maybe on the west, or north or south, what have you. So we've got to start communicating more to find out exactly who's doing what and tie in, because we can only be as strong as, you know, as what we allow it to be. And the more that we have that's together, the stronger of a unit that we can actually be.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I agree with that 100%. Do you have a website that people can go to?
No,
How do we contact?
I can give you my number. And actually, I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter by my first and last name. And I have an email address as well, so anyone is more than welcome. You can reach me at area code 318-771-6139 is my number.
Okay,
and my email address is actually Anna, A-N-N-E, Macmillion, M-C, MILLION at YMail.com.
And Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you go to Twitter, I'm also there, but it's my first and last name as well. Everything is pretty much, I kind of kept it simple, which is just a repeat.
Well, thank you for calling in, Anna. Pardon me?
You are more than welcome. You are more than welcome. I do have some very good connects for everyone. If you, like I said, once again, if you're interested, contact me. I'm a part of Africom Media Group, which is a brother out of Florida who has developed his own black superhero cartoon for our children. Dynamite website, cartoon episodes, e-comics. Actually just uploaded some available scholarships for our youth. So there's a lot of things that's going on. There are tremendously a lot.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing the information. See, that's what we need. You know, we need to share our information so people know who's what, who's who. You know, and to remember, oh, I could call this person. I heard this person speak the other night. They got this going on. Let me plug into them. So I really appreciate you calling in. Brett, you want to give us your website and address?
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you. And hi, Miss Anna. How are you? Thank you for joining, and thank you for sharing that information. I'm actually sending you some information on my organization as well. But before I say that, Mr. Nix, give my information out. I just wanted to say something to what Miss Anna said, and it's really important what she said. But I will say to that as well, another 5 years from now, we will still find people with the same mentality of not wanting to get on board unless we really convince people that these issues are real. You know, this has been a long slide down the slope, and unfortunately some people still stand on top of the hill looking at us sliding down and still seeing that we're not going to go down. So I really commend what you're doing and what you're saying, but you know, we really have to come together, which we're doing right here right now, which is a good example of that. Now, my website is sisfi.org. That's Sam India, Sam Frank India.org. And on there, you'll find all the information about us, so our programs, a lot of stuff. We are in the process of, that's a new website that we started at the beginning of the year. Every year, we try to make sure our website stays up with what we're doing. And so, what you're looking at right now is a new website that we just pretty much started working on at the beginning of the year, but it has all of our information, contact information and stuff there.
Thanks, Monique, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Do you have an email or a number, you know, for contact?
Sure. You can email us at anorinc89@yahoo.com. You can visit us at www.anorinc.com, and our number is 347-444-0812.
Thank you. I really wish, you know, when I posted this, a lot of folks said they were calling in. And as you can see, not that many have. There were some folks that were on the line, and I guess they chose to hang up. They didn't want to speak. But if you're out there and you're listening, feel free to call in. The number is 424-258-9271. Join the conversation. We need you to join in and be a part of this. You know, this is about us, and this is for us. So come on and join in on this. Again, the number is 424-258-9271. Brent, you know I've come up with something for us here in New York or in Southeast Queens. And I don't know, this just came from out of nowhere, but I just really think it's a great idea. I would really like to have a Unity Day here in Southeast Queens by the end of the summer. Reaching out to everybody. A Unity Day here in Southeast Queens by the end of the summer. I've reached out to everyone. everyone that I know of in the community that's active within the Southeast Queens area to come and let's put this together.
Well, you know you have my full support on that.
Oh, yeah, you have to be in it. I'm not taking no for an answer. You got
to. Well, see, I like that. Okay, so I'm not even giving an option to whether opt in or out. Oh. I was just giving the ultimate. You're in, so I have no complaints to that.
That's it. I'm not apologizing for it. That is what it is, you know, because this
is what it is. Yes, sir.
You know, this is. I hope. My hopes are this will help pull everyone together. You know, yeah, sure, it's going to still be that individualism from some, but not from all. You know, you mentioned about 5 years down the line. I'm not even that far ahead. 5 years down the line, I'm optimistic that there'll be greater change. You know, if you want information about Unity Day, just go to send an email, rather, to eie.saveourchildren@gmail.com, or you can go to the website enoughisenoughsaveourchildren.org. You know, which I would hope that all of you will do that and register, because I think this could be a really great event. You know, where we can bring in everybody, whoever's offering whatever kind of services. You know, get some sponsors, set up some tables. For jobs, for mental health. There's so much that we could do with this. You know, I just really believe it's a great idea. You know, and then if we could get it going on from state to state or have it annually, you know, that would be a beautiful thing.
Well, here's another piece of that. We're actually doing our New York City bus tour, our anti-abuse bus tour in the summer, so maybe we could tie that into that as well. You know, that would actually put that into the marketing stream that we're doing for the bus tour this summer.
Right. This is the stuff we need to put out there. And, you know, people can't say, well, oh, you didn't invite me. No, that's not true. I invited everybody. When I tell you everybody, I invited everybody. So I don't want to hear, oh, you didn't tell me, or I didn't know. Yes, I did. You know, actually, I've gone, you know, over beyond the limit. Not just contact you once. I'll contact you up to 3 times. So you can't say you didn't get it. I know your email. I'll send it to your email. I'll send it to your inbox on Facebook. You know, but what I truly believe, once it's planned and it starts to take form, I believe people are going to come on board.
Yes.
I really believe people are going to come on board because we need this. Our biggest issue in our community, one of the biggest issues, is the unity piece. But, Anna, you said it. You know, we've got to go through the healing piece also. And I believe a function like this will help the healing. Well, and once again, we'll be united because our unity has depleted, totally depleted. And we need to change that. You got to be kind of pushy about it, you know, because there's those that don't want to hear it, but that's too bad, you know, because this is for you, this is for your children, this is for everybody. This is for everybody.
Well, like I said, you know, you have my support.
We have an African American man in the White House who's going to get another term. You know, that's where I stand. If y'all may believe differently, that's okay. But he's going to get another term. You know, I don't see any opposition. If you do, let me know. But right now, I don't see any. You know,
I don't either.
And I truly believe, and I believed this when he first got in office, that this is our time. And I read the other day, I can't think of the lady's name, she wrote an article, and she said, clearly, shame on us if our president gets another 4 years and we don't do nothing and we don't capitalize on it. We cannot blame our president for that. That's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's our fault. So it's really time to wake each other up. Like, don't you see what's going on here? It's really, really in our hands. And if we, I'm not real religious, church-going kind of guy, but I do believe in God. I do believe in God, and I really believe we put God at the forefront of what we do. He'll lead us to where we need to go. He'll make it. He'll help us make it happen. I truly believe
this. This is true.
You know?
Can I just something, if I could?
Sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One thing, you know, that we have to, you know, kind of remember, and at the same time we really have to start putting our focal point on is not looking for everyone to do things for us or to help us. We have got
right.
to get it to where we don't need to get your handouts. We need to take the initiative on our own to go in and do what we need to do. We already know the issues that are plaguing us as a nation of people. So we shouldn't have to look for anyone else to find value or worth within us to say, okay, look, we're going to take out the time and we're going to help you guys because we know that you need it. You've been needing it. We don't need that. We don't need pity. We don't need pats. We don't need anybody to soothe. We have a crisis. We have an issue. We've had it for the last 100 or so odd years. It hasn't gone anywhere. It has only escalated. So we need to get on it. Our youth are suffering from our lack of being able to stand on our own two feet and do what we need to do. Time is out for sympathy. Time to get it rolling. And if you can't get it rolling, you need to move aside and let the ones who can do the movement do the movement. If you want to help, that's great. By all means, let's do that. But if you want to sit back and talk, you need to go to another chapter, move to another space.
Exactly.
Children, I mean, I'm in the school system here in Mississippi where I've had students, literally, our males, put in corners, desks turned completely in the opposite direction of where the teacher should, they should actually have view of a teacher. Because, once again, they are considered to be behavioral at-risk males. They can't sit still. They can't keep their mouths closed. They're always hitting someone. They're always bullying someone. They're incompetent. They can't learn. They're ADHD. It's always something. So when our children hit the door for school, period, it's an automatic shutdown. They already get shut down when they're at home. But when they come to
right.
the school to try to learn, the adults, and some of us as well, are the main ones that are shutting them down as soon as they hit that door. And it doesn't matter if your son is wearing the nicest clothes and they're nice and neat and ironed and you're coming there pretty much periodically. He's black. He's a male. And that's enough. We can't keep talking about it. We've got to move it. Get on it. So that's what my drive has been about. I'm working on a teen summit. Actually, I'll have mine in July. And I have a couple of speakers that are actually coming in to speak to my students here. And then I'm working with New Orleans to bring some things also there to the students there. I'm all about movement. I'm not about talking. Let's get on it. So anyone that's ready to get on it and start moving it, you know, let's get together. Let's talk.
Well, I'll be contacting you soon. Because I'm ready.
I already
Definitely.
Sent you my information. I already sent you mine.
This is what I'm talking about, Z. This is, you know, there's a organization. I was hoping he called in tonight. Perhaps he's busy. Good friend of mine. He has a group called the Sledge Group. They're out of Harlem. And this man is doing some things. He's doing some things. He's a mentor of mine. I have to say that. You know, and everything that I've asked him to be a part of, he just says he's in, and that's it. You know, and there's not a no questioning, he's in. I love that, and I respect that in him. You know, because he is a truly dedicated individual. His name is Michael Slash. He may still call in also. But I watch what this brother do. I know where he come from, you know, because him and I come from similar backgrounds. And he has that passion. And I really believe to do what we do, that passion has to be there. You have to have that passion, you know. And I just believe it's a gift. You know, putting us together like this, I don't call this a coincidence at all. This is how, what it's supposed to be. Those that didn't call in, they weren't supposed to call in. That's the bottom line. I could wish and shoulda, coulda, but they wasn't supposed to call in. Those that's on this conversation tonight are the people that were supposed to collaborate, speak with one another, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always look at not, you know, not what I don't have, what we do have. Let me say it like that. I don't look at what we don't have. I look at what we do have, you know, because I know it will grow. I have faith that it will grow because people are getting tired, okay? You got the youth in action coming out of Atlanta, okay? These are youngsters starting at age. This little young woman started at the age of 10. She is now 14 years old, okay? And they're on the move. They're mobilizing. She is 12 states strong, including here in New York. And I'm in contact with her constantly. And I support them 100%. I told them from the very beginning, I will stand beside you and what you're doing. Because when it's the youth stepping up and getting on the front line, and the
That's
adults
right.
are not stepping up with them, something's wrong with that.
That's why we are where we are right now. That's why we are where we are right now. And it's the youth that will lead us into this new era of change, because they don't have the petty quarrels that we do. They don't have the little nuances that we do. And as parents and adults, the things that we should be setting examples for to our children, we're not. So they are the ones who have been taking the lead, who will continue taking the lead, because what we get caught up in titles and big names and profiteering and this whole greed, they are not. They're looking out for the well-being of themselves and their future, okay? I tried to tell this to some parents the other day. I was at this conference. I was telling these parents, I said, we're not suffering right now. We're not, okay? It is our children's children that's going to feel the brunt of what we're going through right now. Our society is at a point right now where that volcanic eruption is just starting to bubble. These economic issues, these social issues, the violence and all that, our children's children are the ones that's going to suffer, because guess what? This deficit that the country has, the economic global crisis, the whole thing of the climatic issues, all of that, 10, 15 years from now, that's when you're going to start seeing what all this meant and how it really, really impacted us as a people.
Like I said, Brent, and based on what you just said, rather, you know, if our children are willing to go up to schools because there was a shooting or some kid got beat up or whatever the case may be, and the parents of these kids are not coming, you know, that says a lot to me. That says a lot to me, you know. But one of the frustrations I find that they're running into that they've talked about is the fact that when they go up to these schools to try to have meetings about the violence in the schools, the schools want to orchestrate the meeting. In other words, they're not touching on what the problem is.
Yes.
Like they don't want to talk about that.
Yes, sir.
You know? And that's wrong. That's wrong. And I that's why I feel like they need greater support.
Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. I just last night And I'm sorry to say this, but it came down to the point where last night I had to resign from a leadership position at a school, okay? You would be shocked at the things that adults and parents quarrel and argue about when they're not doing anything to benefit or make the process better. They will pull you down, tear you down, rather than try to help you in what you're doing or help the process of what you're a part of doing.
Right.
Okay? So when we look at, let's take a real look at this. We got PTAs, we got parent advisory councils, we got parent associations, you name it, we have those parent entities in our schools. What are the agencies or the associations that you see rising up right now? Youth-based programs, youth-based initiatives, because a simple reason is they can work together, support each other so that they grow together. You get what I'm saying? That's all it is. So how are we adults, parents, the ones who are supposed to be setting that role model or setting that trend or giving that leadership, how are we the process of change when we cannot communicate and do not know how to communicate with rather than to and at? You have a lot of adults right now who do not know the difference between talking with someone and talking to or at someone. That's why conflict is. That's why we have so many conflicts in a lot of things that we do as adults and parents. We don't know how to communicate. We have that syndrome that we still talk about it 30 years ago. Children are to be seen but not heard. But now all of a sudden we're trying to flip that mentality and say, oh, I want to hear what you're going through. I want you to talk to me. I want you to come to me when you have a problem. But what we have not realized is that we have compounded all the issues of our youth into this Pandora's box that once the box is opened, you can no longer control it. You get what I'm saying, guys? I mean, seriously, we are at a cataclysmic event right now where Operation Wall Street, all these little riots and all these breaking out, the violence, the youth, no empathy. You see a kid get shot by another one, and the kid just stands over him like, so what? What's the deal? Children, they're challenging death. They're experimenting on suicide. They're experimenting on ways of killing themselves. Oh, the reason why I tried it is because I wanted to see what suicide feels like. I shot him because I just wanted to see what it feels like to take a life. I mean, come on. I mean, oh, my God.
One thing I have to say on that is, our children don't have a purpose. They don't see that they have a purpose. We've been told on a day-to-day basis, this is what you do, this is how you're supposed to act, this is where you're supposed to go. This is once you've completed this, this is exactly where you will be, estimated amount of time, your income level or your expenses, or if you want this or you want that, you have to work hard and do this and that. They don't have the true essence of anything. It's all fun or for them, fictitious to a point to where I don't know it. I don't feel it. I don't believe it. I don't understand it. So what is the purpose? I have no purpose. Their parents tell them, say some horrible things from some of my students that will confide in me and tell me, these are things in which that occurs and happen at home with my mother or my grandmother or my aunt or whomever will say some negative things to me. They come to school with that very same thing, feeling like they're incorrigible. They can't do anything. They can't accomplish anything. Then when they get in the classroom, the teacher turns around, and I will say this, because I'm stupid. You're just really stupid. You'll never learn anything.
And
that is terrible.
That
literally break down, and this was a black male. that burned me. And I had to pull him outside the classroom and reestablish who he is as a male to the best degree that I could as a black woman. Because another black woman that was an elder just broke him down in front of everyone.
And that's
the
harsh reality.
That's
the harsh reality of where we are today, and I'll give you another example on top of that. When I try to tell parents.
Hold on a second. If you're listening and you want to call in, because we only have about 10 minutes left, the number, again, is 424-258-9271. Go ahead, Brett. I'm sorry.
I told some parents the other day, I said, when you are in the presence of your children, you need to be very careful of how you speak around your children. I gave a mother an example. I said, when you're at home talking about a child taking homework home and you're talking about this teacher is this and this calling the teacher the B word and saying all kinds of bad things about that teacher, you need to realize that that child is going to go back to school in a classroom with this person standing there trying to educate him or her on things that they need to learn. With you talking about and bringing that type of moral level down for that child, you're only setting that child up for failure. A lot of times we have parents saying things to their children without even understanding themselves what they're saying, which is really bad enough in itself. But it only goes to show that the anger and frustration that a lot of us are going through and suffering, sometimes we can't even control that. Sometimes we don't even understand that. That's why that education and awareness that we as providers bring to our communities needs to be out of the box mentality, where we take things like the mental health pieces and the social pieces as some of the solutions needed, because if people are hurting, they're going to be angry, they're going to be frustrated, they're going to want to kill themselves, they're going to kill somebody else, and they may not even know when that's happening. We have some people who are so angry right now that when you talk to them, you are afraid just having a conversation with them, because that's just anger. You feel that anger just by simply having a conversation. So can you imagine if they were to really let it out?
You got a lot of angry youth out there, and they're angry for the reasons that you guys are talking about, okay?
They're frustrated for a reason. You have it every day. You have a society that has created itself to where, for black people, of course, they have no just to try to help you get ahead, period. That's not within their agenda. Neither will they allow you to do that. So everything in which you do as a black woman, as a black man, as a black child, is going to knock you down regardless. When you try to go to the grocery store, something to eat, your food is being tampered with. When you get into your vehicle, your gas, everything in which that you do, eat, live, smell, breathe, whatever, is being tampered with. It's not for you. They're not trying to make it to a point to where you can survive and get to where you need to get to. So, of course, everyday life and stresses of this world, if you do not know how to tackle them, but you got to have knowledge of self. And majority of our people do not have knowledge of.
That's the piece right there. You know, our children are emulating a lot of what they see us do, what they see is done in society, and the morals and the values are gone. There's no value for life. There is no morals. We live in a society that there is no censorship at all.
There's no accountability.
But see, the accountability piece starts with us. When are we going to start to account? Because we're not accounting. We're not accounting. Because we got a big, big part in this, bigger than what we want to admit. You know, like I said earlier, we got complacent instead of staying consistent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's going on now didn't occur overnight. This took time.
Mm-hmm.
This took time to get where it is right now. So this is why it makes it so difficult to turn things around. because we have allowed it to grow and grow and grow. It's not my problem. That's their problem over there. Until it knocks on your door. When it knocks on your door, oh, something got to be done.
All of a sudden,
let's not wait till it knocks on our door. It needs to be changed right now. Now is the time. Education-wise, is very important. So our community's got to come out and start saying, you know what, Mr. Mayor or whoever's running the education system, it's not working for our children, and we need change. Because outside our communities, this problem doesn't occur. Only in inner city communities is this an issue with the education.
Mm-hmm.
Kids go to school.
That's right.
Kids come to school. They're coming out of broken homes. They're coming to school with issues. Their mindset is unhealthy. What kid wants to learn coming to school like that? Then you're faced with a teacher who could care less. Because there's not a lot of dedication. You know, God bless those that are dedicated, but they can't do it all by themselves. So as a people, we got to step it up. We really got to step it up. And some of it starts with us making our communities aware of what role they play.
Right.
What role they play. And waking them up to the fact that you got to step up for your children. Or you may be burying your child.
Well, I got to say this to you guys. We had a teacher here in my location, a middle-class European woman, in a classroom filled with black children, okay, predominantly males. She had been doing this for the last 2 months, had been cursing the children out in the classroom, yelling and screaming. You mean she's like on the second hall in that building all the way to the far end. And when they actually took the teacher out and I came in, the students turned around and wanted to tell me all of what she had been saying to them, which was, I can't stand you people. I wish they would go ahead and pay my money so I can just go ahead and walk out, and I don't care if you get your education or not.
Whoa.
These babies are, this is fifth grade.
This is common. What you're talking
there.
About is common.
And
yeah,
you know, can I say this? You know, words have life. And whatever you speak over that child, that's what's created. And that's why parents, teachers, mentors must be mindful what they speak over a child. And so when that teacher did that, she broke their spirit, even to want to learn or to do anything. That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Words have life. You guys told your parents?
You got to be mindful how we speak over the youth and the young adult.
One student in my class tell me, no, ma'am, I wouldn't dare tell my grandfather. Oh, he'd be up here too quick. I had another student turn around and tell me, oh, no, my mom would come out here and beat her butt and do this and do that. They're afraid. They won't even tell their parents or their guardian what's even going on in the schools.
Mm.
So they're keeping it as a hush-hush amongst themselves. So their parents don't even know what's going on. And the different organizations, parent organizations that I'm working with here, those are some things that we're going to start addressing, because PTO is not going to address anything. They're too busy talking about fundraisers and little nonchalant things, parties and proms and dances and ball and all that foolishness.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
So parent university is telling you, you know, okay, you know, this is how you can become a better teacher or better parent in the communication with each other. Let's try to do this. You're not talking about the students that are on the bus that are bullying other students, and the bus driver's trying to drive, and you got students waving their hands all out of the bus.
They're not addressing the issues, and that's a common thing
in all of
our schools across America. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to an end. I want to thank everybody for coming on. I definitely want y'all to come back, please. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. I really appreciate the fact that you came on tonight. Those that are listening, thank you for listening tonight. Those in the chat room, Thank you for coming in and joining in and being a part of our discussion tonight. We're going to do this again real soon. I'm your host. My name is Tony. And as always, the sooner that we know where we know violence in our community, the sooner we will know peace. And that's KNOW Deuces. With that, I'm going to say good night and thank you all.